Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Whisker Report. We're a podcast dedicated to helping anyone in the pet industry, whether you're in animal welfare or running a for-profit pet business, get some PR visibility and buzz for what you do. Hello, everyone. I'm Mary Tan, the host of the show, along with my buddy, Mark Winter, the founder and executive producer of Pet Life Radio. Hey, Mark, what you doing this week?
Hi, Mary. Yeah, I haven't spoken to you in a while with the holidays and everything.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of like SNL people on recently. We just had Chevy Chase on.
And he's, no.
You know, his documentary is playing right now on CNN, so we got him to talk about that. Actually, he was really funny and he was really nice, even though I don't know what his reputation says, but to us, he was really funny and he was really nice and talked about his dogs, too. We also had Rachel Dratch and Amy Sedaris, so we've had a lot of SNL people on.
Well, you get to interview all the big celebrities, but you know what? We get to interview all the amazing marketing and PR people across the country here on the Whisker Report. Of course, we're so honored to be part of the Pet Life Radio Network because you can do PR for yourself. And Mark and I are going to help you each and every week. And today we are super lucky to have my bestie, Matt Aldrich. He's the founder of Pet Engine Marketing. Matt works with pet businesses and pet nonprofits to help them grow through smarter marketing. Everything from digital strategy and lead generation to branding and customer retention. Matt has spent years helping pet brands stand out in a very crowded, very competitive industry. And he's especially passionate about helping smaller business and rescues figure out marketing without feeling overwhelmed. And if you can hear that in the background, I know you can't see this, but I've got two foster kittens just flying off the walls here.
That's okay. We love when animals are part of the show.
So, Matt, welcome to the show.
Thank you for that wonderful, warm introduction. I am super honored to be here and to be with you guys today.
Yeah, well, Matt is awesome. And actually, Matt is working on the Whisker Media website, which I am part of. And he's also going to work on another project I have in the pet sitting world. So, Matt, here's my starting question for you. The pet industry is really exploding. I know you've been in the business a long time and you've seen that, but so is the digital world. There's new platforms and new tools and new algorithms. Oh my gosh. And if you're a small pet business owner or animal rescue with little or to no budget, it can feel impossible to keep up. So what's your best advice for people who are trying to do everything for themselves?
Well, it's not possible to do everything for yourself, right? Like, I really think you have to get to a point, the goal is to get to a point where you can outsource some of that and delegate it to hopefully people that you can trust and that do a good job and have expertise and experience in the space, you know?
Yeah.
I know a lot of people that I would recommend. They're actually all PIN members, you know, Pet Industry Network experts. But as far as like how to reach that point, I think so many of the businesses that we work with initially when they begin, a lot of them are in the pet industry because they're passionate about it, right? They're passionate about pets and people. They're not necessarily passionate about understanding hashtags and algorithms and how to optimize the website for SEO. But at the beginning, if you don't have the funding to outsource that, you have to do a lot of DIY and you have to do a lot of learning. Luckily, we do have a ton of amazing resources in the pet industry that provide a lot of great education, either online or at trade shows like Global, Super Zoo. I'm sure there are more, you know, but there are some great resources out there that are constantly educating on things like podcasts as well.
So you touched on the Pet Industry Network, which I am a part of. Can you talk a little bit about the network? You are one of the founders and how you created it and how people can get involved with PIN.
I would love to talk a little bit more about PIN. So PIN is almost 4 years old now. I'm a co-founder with Yolanta Smolsky of Pet Pro Media. It was born out of some shared frustrations that we had 4 years ago about you know, just the fact that there are a lot of good people in the pet industry and a lot of people that need a lot of help. And it was difficult to connect those dots from the, you know, business owners that need help, whether that is with coaching or financial literacy or cash flow or PR or marketing or SEO or social media or any of these kind of business functions. Pet business owners need those to run their business and they're not sure where to turn. Maybe they've been burned in the past or they don't trust anyone that is just coming in from outside the pet industry, all sorts of reasons. So we created the Pet Industry Network to really bridge that gap, you know? And it has been a labor of love for sure. It's been intensive, but we love the group that we've cultivated over time. We love the members that are part of it and we love the community that we've built around it. It has been something that we're really proud of and also humbling, just the amount of people that are kind of like pulling for us and are in our corner and are also supporting what we do and what we're building. So if anyone wants to get involved, we're looking for not only business-to-business service providers like you, Mary, like me running an agency in the pet industry, you running a PR agency in the pet industry. We are always looking for trusted, vetted experts to join the Pet Industry Network. But if you run a pet business, whether it's a brand or a retail store or grooming salon, daycare, border trainer, sitter, walker, whatever it is you run, if you want to get involved, you should join our email list. You can go to petindustrynetwork.com. We have webinars every single month. We have a big online virtual summit that happens once a year. There's some big news coming out about that in the near future. It's a little under wraps right now. So there's lots of ways to get involved. And it's a great learning opportunity and networking opportunity.
Yeah. And I want to also point out, it's very affordable, right? We are really cognizant of, you know, I think people think that folks who own a pet business are rich, right? They think they're making a lot.
Do they think that?
I know a lot of people who think, oh, you know, the pet industry, they're making so much money. And I want to say I've read that the average pet store owner is making between $40,000 and $50,000 a year and working 7 days a week, 24 hours a day.
I could tell you they're wearing a lot of hats. And
yeah.
Yeah, they're busy for sure.
They are. So at what level do you think people are ready to hire an agency like yours or mine?
Been thinking about this a lot. So we tend to work best with businesses that either have like some pre-established marketing or pre-established presence in the business or in their like in their local community or in the space that they're operating in. And frequently we work with owners where it has either become too much to maintain with everything else on their plate, that being their marketing, whether it's social, email, SEO, websites, events, reporting and data analysis, kind of all of the above. So that's one time when it's like, all right, maybe I should start looking out for some help, right? When marketing is consistently getting pushed to the tomorrow part of your to-do list, you know? The other thing is, I think a lot of people look at marketing and think of it as like, oh, well, sales are down this month and I should maybe do some marketing or maybe I should do some PR. And it's just not that expectation of it having an overnight fix or like, you know, you start it this month and you start to see the effect next month. Like you're already kind of behind the eight ball if that's your mentality around it. You know what I mean? Most marketing is a long-term game. You have to be consistent in the space. You have to repeat yourself. You have to get multiple impressions over a course of time for a single customer to come in. You know, brand awareness is not something that happens with one click. So
right.
It takes time.
Right. The other thing I wanted to talk about is people don't understand the difference between PR and marketing. And we can both chime in on this one. So the way I look at it is PR is part of an overall marketing strategy. So the difference, what PR does is we're looking more, we're not pay for play. So we don't buy anything. So we're trying to get third parties to say great things about our product that our clients have. And so I think a lot of people don't get that because I often get reached out to do, oh, can you help with my website and different things like that? And I'm like, no, that's not me. I am horrible, as you know, Matt, from a technical standpoint. I can't do SEO and all of that. I'm the first to like say, like, that's above what I do. But talk about what your experience is with PR and marketing.
Well, I definitely don't think they're competitors. I think they can work together and they're different tools that actually work really well together. I think PR earns attention and credibility and trust, and marketing tries to sustain that credibility and trust, right? If you're consistent with your visibility, and then you add in this factor that really increases trust through local PR or links in the news or videos in the news, things like that, you actually get a lot of growth when both of those reinforce one another. Actually, you and I could talk about a shared client, right? When we worked together with Bark and Love down in Arizona, their first year in business, you did a lot of PR for them. We were handling a lot of their website SEO and their ongoing SEO. And I remember their grand opening that we had helped them promote. I think what you did had a really important, like it was a really big piece of it, just in terms of getting a lot of word out. But the other infrastructure helped to maintain that over time. And her first year in business was better than some people's like 10th year in business. You know, I mean,
right?
It worked really well together, especially that grand opening event. I mean, we've got video. They had a line like down the block. And I think a lot of that was due to the two things working together really well.
Absolutely. And that was Megan Ames, who you can also, we interviewed her about how she promoted that grand opening. And so she's on a prior podcast if you want to check that out. So my thought of it too is that a lot of, when people come to me, I really think they need their marketing strategy. They need the basics set up. Kind of, it's helpful to us to have it set up before you reach out to PR. We can get you attention, but we need a platform, which is what you do, to get that messaging across, right? Great social media, great websites. And so they work hand in hand, but I'm a firm believer, and some PR people may disagree with me, but that you need your basics set up first. You need your basic communication strategies. And that, I think, it ties into exactly what you do.
Yeah, I mean, PR really supports SEO efforts quite a bit. You know, local links from local news channels and things like that can do a ton. But if you haven't set up your initial website in a way that Google likes in the first place, then it's not going to be quite as effective. That's just the website. You know, you mentioned social media, but also email as well. Like if you just do PR and you get all this attention in the news, but then you're not kind of pulling your own weight to promote it through your own channels, you're kind of doing yourself a disservice and not getting the most out of your investment.
So what do you think is more important if you're a solopreneur running a pet store or a small rescue? Do you think that email marketing is more important? Because a lot of times, you know, they have email lists. I mean, they have people coming into the store. Or do you think social media is more important, or the website? What is the number one thing that you should do first?
I'm going to say the website, although I think a lot of it also depends on your audience. You know, we know business owners that cultivate like a really great audience on social, and it's because their audience, that's where they spend the time, you know? And if they were to build an email list with that same audience, well, maybe that audience doesn't check their emails, or they're not like an inbox zero kind of person, or it goes immediately to spam. They don't seem to care about it, you know? So a lot of it depends on, I think, what, you know, the best way that you want to communicate to your audience. You have to meet them where they are.
Right, exactly. Well, we have so much more to talk to you about, but first we want to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to dive deeper with Matt.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem, but the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell she was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk.
She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's CARNIVORA.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And And we're back with Matt Aldrich of Pet Engine Marketing. Matt, how do you keep up with all the stuff going on, all the algorithms? I mean, it must be a lot for you, but for a pet store owner or an animal rescue leader, oh my gosh, what's your advice on that?
I think you have to have the right people in your corner, you know? Like, I've learned a lot about the pet industry and about marketing through continued exposure to people like you, to people like Lynn, to the people that are in the pet industry network, right? Regular networking, regular learning. But I would say I've got a very different job and role than, say, like an indie retail store owner or a nonprofit, you know, operator. Certainly there are places to learn and stay up to date with like what's changing in marketing and whatnot. But I kind of feel like you just need to have the right people in your corner that can handle that for you. You know, like you can pay a contractor to provide a service for you, right? Like I can go to Upwork or Fiverr and get someone to create 3 social media posts a week for me and say, okay, I've got social media done, right? But that's not really going to give you what you want. And what I think you're looking for in the right person in your corner is someone that's actually going to solve the problem for you and provide a solution. And social media might be part of that solution or it might not. But I think the solution is like, well, you know, I either don't have to stay on top of marketing all the time because I've got this team or this person that does it for me, or it's like, okay, I've got this problem and marketing is the solution. And it doesn't necessarily matter what tactics go into marketing, whether it's PR or social or email or SEO. It's all to fix this problem. And maybe that problem is retention or revenue or conversion or lifetime value of a customer, you know?
Right.
I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, it completely makes sense. So I have another question. Between SEO and AI, is there a difference in search terminology?
Yeah, I think we're still seeing a lot of the effects of what like AI overviews and generative searches are doing to websites. Oddly enough, we had a client last month that we posted a blog for them in November. And so it got indexed. And in December, that blog got something like 88,000 views. And this is unheard of for something that happened in a month. And my team and I are looking at this data and we're like, well, where does this come from? Right? Like this blog is 3 weeks old. Well, it turns out like it had gotten cited in a few AI search overviews. And so it was getting tons of impressions technically, but like the click-throughs were super low because Google wants to keep you on their platform, you know? So it's actually interesting because like in the past, you would say 88,000 views. I mean, surely that's got to have an impact in the business. And now we're not even sure that that 88,000 views has a noticeable impact in like people visiting the store or even people visiting the website. So it's just a different world right now. I mean, with AI and SEO, I think proper SEO principles and having a good foundation on your website and creating content that Google approves of and can index in a way that people are still using search engines for. I think it's gotten much more conversational. I think it's much more question-based and it's a little bit more difficult to fake it. So Google's just gotten significantly smarter with the way that it scrapes content and then repurposes it on their own landing page, which it's not super surprising, but it's definitely difficult for pet business owners in terms of trying to figure out, well, what's actually going to bring visibility to the business, you know?
Right.
It's a long answer, but I think ultimately the short answer is like the same SEO principles and foundational elements are still going to have a positive impact for you in the era of generative search. You just might not have the same kind of return or noticeable impact that it might have had 5 years ago.
Question for you. When you search things like, you know, litter boxes or something, you always see like the big guys. You see the PetSmarts and the Petcos and or pet food. It's like Purina that will pop up. Are these big companies paying for that spot?
Sometimes, you know, for a sponsored spot on Google, if it says sponsored on the top, they're definitely paying for that ad space. And sometimes they're paying an ridiculous amount just for a click there. I mean, if you search for dog food, we've got a couple tools on our end that can give us a rough estimate of what we think it costs to get a click on a term like dog food. And some of these companies are paying like $25 to $50 just for a click in urban areas, which is nuts, just to click to their website. So it's super difficult for small businesses to compete against the Amazons and the Petcos and the Chewys and the big box distributors and retailers on search engines. I think actually local businesses have a somewhat more equal playing field because they're local, and we have some pretty cool tools that can sync like a store's inventory with a Google business profile. So say someone like you is looking for, what type of kitty litter do you buy frequently?
It kind of varies, but World's Best.
Yeah, I think we use World's Best too. So if someone was to type in Google and say, World's Best kitty litter near me. Yeah, this tool that we have can actually, like, if your store has that in stock, it can show it directly on the Google business profile and says in stock today at this location. So having tools like that in your back pocket can really like help generate people where it's like, oh crap, we're completely out of kitty litter. I need to get it in the next couple of hours. Where's the nearest resource for me? I can't wait for Amazon to give it to me in 24 or 48 hours.
Got it. So when you put like cat litter near me, that's when it would pop up.
Yeah. Or buying a specific brand name, you know, and if as long as they've identified that they want to buy it locally or near me on that search, which isn't a perfect solution, but it's something, you know, you can at least capture some last minute customers. And what I always tell like the retailers that we work with is, you know, we're going to give you shots at bat, right? Like we're going to give you the opportunity for customers to come into your store. And once they are in the store, it is entirely up to you to turn that new customer into a long-term customer through product knowledge and in-store experience and making doing everything that you can to make that customer come back, whether that's a loyalty program or walking them out to the car with their products. Like that customer is worth so much money. And that's why these bigger companies are willing to pay like $25 just for a click to earn that customer.
Wow. Amazing. So as a marketer, what's your number one pet peeve of working with some of your clients? I mean, and this is not meant to be negative. It's just, you know, a way to like educate people. Like, what do you need from them? Because everybody's so busy. And I'm going to tell you this, that sometimes there's a lack of response when I need this something. And I am guilty of this too, of course. But what are some things that really kind of hold you back from accomplishing what you're hired to do?
I'll share mine, but then I want to hear yours too, okay? So for us, I think there's an area of opportunity for us to grow and improve just in terms of setting expectations. And this goes back to what I was talking about a little bit earlier. If you hire us, like you're hiring a long-term partner, like there are a few tactics that can generate some quicker results, but the vast majority of things, like you're going to see bigger and better results 6, 9, 12, 18 months down the road. Like if you need to fix something by next month, you're already too late. And there's not a lot that anyone could really do to solve that for you. So it really comes down to like understanding, you know, like that marketing is not this one-time fix. There's no magic solution. It is showing up consistently again and again over time in front of your audience and where they are. It's putting long-term effort and kind of iteration and optimization over time to continue to get better at it. You know, you can't just do it one time and say, okay, well, I did the marketing. We're done. Now the customers are going to come to me. That's not how it works.
Yeah, it's very similar in PR. My number one thing is they don't have anything to promote. So it's all about storytelling, right? So I'll have a company that is launching a new dog toothbrush. Let's just say that. Okay, you've got a new product. That's newsworthy to trade publications that want to publish new products. But a lot of them are like, well, we want you. I mean, they have these goals like, we want to get on the Today Show or Good Morning America. And I'm like, with your new toothbrush? How is that going to work?
Some mismanaged expectations, right?
Yes. So I always, you know, when I give you a proposal, it will clearly say in there are no guarantees with public relations. But one thing that can help me is a great story. So go beyond the new toothbrush. What's the story behind the new toothbrush? I need something more. You know, was the toothbrush created by somebody with special needs who has a service dog that saved their life, something compelling. You need more than just a new product. Every day, there's millions of new products being launched. But unless I have a great story behind it, and a lot of times what it takes to find that story is me actually interviewing them, and that's talking to them. And this is where my former journalism skills come into play, because I can't tell you the number of times in my journalism career where I was sent out on a story and there was no story there. But as I used to say, our job on a nightly newscast is to fill the time in between the commercials. And so I'm like, the producer would say to me, like, you've got to fill 2 to 3 minutes of something. And so I would have to dig and like interview that person and go intense and get really personal and find out what that story is. And when it comes to pet products, like it comes to almost every product or even in a rescue situation. Well, rescues and animal welfare has it easier, right? There's so many compelling stories with an
animal. I actually think so many of our clients, though, like, so many pet businesses start with a story around a pet, like mine included, you know? So I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead. But
No.
I mean, they got to be everywhere in the pet industry, right? Like,
yeah. I mean, there's just some amazing stories out there. Like there's a woman who created, I think it's called the Lofty Loo. It's a litter box like that's at the level of like a desk. So the cat has to jump up there. But like there's so many elderly people that can't bend down and clean the litter box anymore. And, you know, sometimes, you know, their arthritis is bad, their joint pain. And she created this, I believe, for a family member who couldn't bend over, but didn't want to give up the cat. As a former shelter employee, I've seen cats given up because the person couldn't no longer care for them. That's a really great story, right?
It is.
I mean,
it's
that's
got a nice
a story
angle
behind it. And for example, that's a great story to pitch the like the AARP magazine. And what you would do is the story Lofty Loo would be part of it. But the reporter then would make the story broader and talk about all the other aspects of aging with a pet. And then they could put Lofty Loo in the story. And so that's kind of how, because no reporter wants a sales pitch, but that's how you can get a new product into thing. It's got to be part of a story that's super compelling. And there's so much news time. There's so many websites that need content. There's so many social media people that, you know, want to tell a story, even in a short post. So storytelling, the lack of stories is one of my biggest challenges, you know.
Stories sell.
Yes. And the expectations, you're 100% correct. They're like, okay, I'm hiring you. When can I go on the Today Show? And I'm just like, oh my gosh. So, I mean, I try to really prepare people. Like, you know, I think as us being contractors, like we give people full transparency. Nobody can make any guarantees that we're going to sell 100 million litter boxes for you.
Shouldn't make those guarantees. If people are guaranteeing you that, you should run from that person.
Yes.
They're full of it, you know?
Yes. And it's just so funny because one of the people I pitch to is with us on this podcast, Mark. I send you press releases and you get all those press releases from manufacturers and different things. Do you read them? And are you looking for a story?
No, as soon as I see they're from you, I just delete them. I look at all of them, and most of them, if they're a product and it's just a product, I send them to Best Bets for Pets, which is our product show. I don't send them unless there's a story attached, and I've changed my view on what we do here, is that if someone's pitching a product, they have to sponsor the episode. If they just want to talk about a story and maybe mention, this is Bill from World's Best Cat Litter, and today we want to talk to you about feline nutrition. That's okay. That would be fine. But then if they're going to say, but, you know, you should buy World's Best Cat Litter because of this and this and this, no, you can't do that anymore.
And you know what, Mark? You're like on trend with everybody else because, for example, a lot of local news stations have these lifestyle shows that look like news, but every single person on those shows have paid to be on the show. Like if you watch the third and fourth hours of Good Morning America or the Today Show, you know, for $25,000, you can go on their show. And so PR is really changing because the media is drastically changing. It is becoming more pay for play as less and less people are getting their news from local media. And that's a whole nother ball. That could be like a 10-hour podcast episode.
That might be true.
You know, and so pay for play, and that's where marketing is becoming more important because a lot of marketers are pay for play. You know, Matt, you don't do, so what I do is called earned media, but you don't do the pay for play stuff. Do you help clients purchase ad space?
Not quite. I mean, we run Google Ads and Meta Ads, but not in terms of like helping them purchase advertising on a podcast or purchase advertising on a publication. You know, that kind of ad buying or media buying is not really our thing.
Yeah, that's a different group of marketers, I like to think. But you do, I mean, Google Ads are so important. I mean,
in a competitive space? Yeah, most of the time. I mean, if realistically, I mean, you have to, 90% of the world is still using a search engine when they're trying to find a service they need or a product they need or an answer to a question, you know? And if you're not visible in a search engine, like, you're probably struggling.
Right. Exactly. Well, I guess we're coming to the end of the show, and I just wanted to ask you, Matt, like, do you have anything else you want to add, say, recommend, advise?
Just that we work really well together. You know, I think marketing without trust feels like pushy, you know, and it feels kind of soulless and just like overly salesy, and PR can really help create a lot of trust. And so working together, PR and more traditional marketing, whether it's social or email or SEO or websites or even paid ads, I mean, they should work together. And ideally, it should be part of your overall marketing strategy. That's the only thing that I would say. And that you and I work very well together. So more people should hire us together.
Absolutely. And more people, come on, pet industry, you should be taking ads out on Pet Life Radio.
You should. And especially this show.
Especially this show. You're correct. So I think that's the wrap for this show. And we are so excited to be doing this for all of you out there who are working every day to make life better for animals and make some money on the side, because, you know, you need money to survive in this world. So do you have a question that you want us to answer? Well, you can reach out to us on Instagram or Facebook under Whisker Media, and we'll try to answer it in a future episode. So, as we always say, bark loud and purr smart. See everyone later.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.